Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, P. Tay, ready. It's the new swag, baby.
Woke up this morning and I told myself, not gonna worry about what I cannot help. People dying innocently, hate is spreading rapidly. I'm not talking apathy, but some things God's gotta work. Whoa. Why?
Increased your faith or decreased your faith? You know, let's talk about that tonight. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about the things that may have increased your faith. Or let's talk about the things that may have decreased it. You know, some of the things that you may have lost your confidence in, you may have lost your trust in. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they who come to him must first believe that he is. You have to believe that there is a God. And then, you know, the Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you talk about how big is your faith, whether it is increasing or decreasing, how much time do you actually spend seeking God? How much time do you actually spend going after God? You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you," all the things that you have need of, because he already knows what you need before you even ask him. But when you look at the things that has been going on in this world, when you look at, you know, we've had over 400,000 people who have died from this virus. And, you know, what was it, just virus related, or was the virus a factor? And I believe in a lot of cases, the virus was a factor. Now, you may have some people who have contracted the virus with no underlying diseases, and they have passed. So, you know, for them, it was the virus. But for other people, it was a contributing factor. But either way, it, you know, we've seen what this thing can do. But in that, the question is, how has your faith remained? Has it remained? Or have you seen what has been going on, and you kind of gotten into a place where you've given up hope? Because of the virus, people have, you know, are unemployed now. Businesses are shutting down. The economy is suffering. We're in biblical proportions when it comes to those people now who are unemployed, where it's like a famine is setting into the land. These are things that, you know, we've seen in TV, we've seen in movies, never thinking that this stuff would actually happen to us in our lifetime. Not in our lifetime. We didn't expect this to happen. No one could predict that it would be to this level. And so, and with that being said, have you been able to maintain your faith? Have you been able to now, you know, really get to that place where you're totally trusting and depending on God to be your source? Or have you gone to the other end of the spectrum where you said, you know, man, I'm so mad and so frustrated even at God that, you know, I find it even hard or difficult to pray because, you know, I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. I don't know how I'm going to support myself. So I'm finding it more and more difficult to pray when really this is the time where you really need to be seeking God, where you really need to be going after him wholeheartedly because he is your source. But for, I know for a lot of people, the job has been their source. Their income, the money that they get from their job, from working, that has been the primary source. And now, you know, that stuff is removed. It has been removed. And what are you left with? What else is there for you to turn to? Because you can't turn to your family. Your family's going through the exact same thing you're going through. You can't turn to your friends. They're going through the same thing. So who is it that you turn to? How have you been able to use your faith in this time? You know, when I'm reading the Bible and we talk about Peter, when Jesus went walking to the disciples, you know, he was walking on the water. They were in the midst of a storm. And Peter looked out and he saw him and he said, "Well, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you in the water, on the water, walking on the water." Peter now was able to operate in a level of faith that was unheard of at that time, because up until then they hadn't seen anybody walking on water, let alone in the midst of a storm. But this is what I'm saying. This is when your faith needs to get to that level, when you're willing to walk to Jesus even in the midst of a storm, not allowing the storm to dictate to you what your next move is going to be. And that's what happens. A lot of people, their next move is dictated by what's going on around them. So really, you're not relying on your faith. You're relying on the circumstances and the situations and allowing that to motivate your move. But Peter here, it was like he was challenging Jesus. He was challenging, if it is you, then let me come to you on the water. As if Jesus would have said no, but Jesus was like, well, come on. If you think you have that amount of faith, if you think you're that bold enough in your faith to walk, to step out in the middle of a storm and walk to me, come. That's what Peter did. Peter got out the boat. He started walking to Jesus. But what happened? Like it happens with so many of us at certain points in our lives. We are on our way, and it seems like things are now going to work out. It seems like things are going to take a turn for the better. But what happened? He started looking around at what was going on around him. He started focusing more on the storm, more on the problem. Has that been you? Have you been in a situation where you focus so much on the problem or what was going on around you that you forgot about Jesus? You took your eye off the prize. And instead of staying in faith, and instead of keep pressing forward and not looking back and moving step by step, you stopped and you looked around, and next thing you know, you were sinking in that mess. You were sinking right in the middle of the storm. Why? Because you allow the storm, and now you got to get back in focus now, because this is a whole new year. This is a whole new year. Everything that was going on in 2020, we have new leadership now. We have somebody who's not just focused on self. And I'm not trying to get political. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying you have somebody there now who's focused on getting this thing under control. So now what are you focusing on? Are you focusing on what happened, or are you focusing on the possibilities of what can happen? Because see, that's what faith does. Faith focuses on the possibilities of what can happen, not what happened already. Because see, faith ain't going to change what already happened. Faith can change the consequences and the result of what happened, but it's not going to change what happened. See, the storm that you were in, that's just it. It was a storm. And some of you may be in that storm right now, but your faith now dictates how you come out of the storm. It doesn't change the storm. And that's what a lot of people, they want their faith to actually change the storm. Well, no, it's like, if you're in a snowstorm and it snows and you get 2 feet of snow on the ground, well, your faith is not going to make the snow go away. But no, that means you just got to get out there and shovel your path to your destination. If you got to go out there and shovel a path to your car, that's what you got to do. But see, laziness, for some people, they won't even shovel the pathway. They'll just walk on top of the snow. And now when you walk on top of the snow, you pack it down, the snow becomes what? Ice. And now it's even a more dangerous situation instead of you getting out there doing what you're supposed to do. See, when you're operating by faith, man, faith will have you do the right thing at the right time. That's what faith does. It will have you doing the right thing at the right time. So even looking back at Peter, if Peter would have kept his eye on Jesus, he would have walked to him, and then they would have walked back to the boat. But this is what I love about this account of what happened, because it showed how a person can exercise their faith to the point now where they're willing to trust God, step out of the boat, and walk in that storm. But it also shows that how a person, even while they're doing that, can change their focus from God to the storm and then begin to sink. But when Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed Peter, because Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him and asked him, "Why did you doubt? You shouldn't have never doubted. You were already out here. You were already walking on the water." You see, do you understand that? You're already in the storm. You're already making it through. Don't get stuck. Don't lose sight of getting out of the storm, because you're looking at everything that the storm is doing to you. So you start focusing on the storm. Okay, now, you know, they're talking about shutting down the government, which means they're going to stop my job, which means I'm not going to have income. See, you your focus is not where it should be. See, even in that, focus should be what Romans 8:28 says. For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. All things work together for the good. If you lose your job, it's working out for your good. See, you don't see it right now, but that's what the storm does. The storm, you know, clouds your vision so that you can't see clearly. But the only thing you would have to do in the storm is keep moving forward by faith. And see, because that's saying to yourself, man, listen, I'm going to trust God no matter what happens. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep allowing him to dictate and order my footsteps so that I can navigate my way out of this storm. And that's what Peter had. That's all what Jesus was saying to Peter. Why did you doubt? So he got in faith to get out of the boat. He lost sight and began to sink. But then, because he cried out and Jesus grabbed him, he was able to get back in faith. Because how do you think he got back to the boat? Jesus didn't carry him. Jesus didn't teleport him back to the boat. No, he had to get back in faith to walk back to the boat on the water. So it's okay sometimes if we waver. Because that's all that story is telling us. If you waver, that's not the end of it. Wavering is not the end. It's giving up is when you get to the end. Is you cannot have a defeated attitude. You cannot have a give up spirit. Regardless of what took place in 2020, regardless of if you lost personally, if you lost a loved one, if you knew someone who died from the virus, if you lost your job, if it affected you personally, that means you can't give up. You have to keep on going, keep pushing, thriving. Keep your focus, because if you keep your focus, all things are going to work out for your good. Because if they didn't, that means God is a liar. And that means we might as well just take the Bible and throw it away. Because we think that this stuff is uncommon, but it's not uncommon. I was reading, you know, the last couple of days I've been reading about Joseph and the famine that hit Egypt, you know. And when Pharaoh had that dream and no one could interpret it, the cupbearer remembered Joseph in jail. He said, "Oh, I got a young man who can interpret your dream." And Joseph tells Pharaoh, "Listen, you know, there's going to be 7 good years followed by 7 years of famine. All this time, we've been living the good years, but now what did you do during the good years of plenty? Did you store up? Did you save up? Did you use any kind of wisdom to prepare for anything that may have happened? Or did you just live day to day?" Amen. We're going to talk about that when we come back from this break.
Life is not promised to anyone. Get it your way. That's something I want to say. I ask you some things about what life has offered you. The eyes, the cars, those things that really don't mean one thing. What does it mean to gain the world? And
it had not been for him. Tell me where would we be?
Broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is a part of the Beverly Nation. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. We're going to go to the lines. We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, hello, hello. It's me, E. Davis with Strictly Business, and I just wanted to call in and let you know that I am extremely, extremely enjoying the show. I am a Christian. I'm an evangelist, and I'm definitely am a firm believer about faith, especially with this recent year, because faith is what kept me motivated that everything was going to be all right. You know what I mean? And if we just focus on Jesus Christ, if we focus on the prize, if we eliminate the distractions, then everything's going to work out in the end. And I love that you threw in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good. You know what I mean? Because when it looks like it's not going to work out, when it looks like it's bad, just trust in God enough to know that he got you.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this. Have you personally been affected by the virus or by anything that has transpired in the last year?
Not in a negative way.
Okay, and if so, what did you do, to get through? What scripture did you stand on? You know, what prayers did you use so that somebody else who may be experiencing that can see that, hey, I'm not the only one. Like Pastor was saying, there are other people out here who are struggling, who are dealing with this thing. Tell us some of the things or one of the things that you did to help you make it out or through.
Well, first, because I'm a firm believer, more than a firm believer, I would say, in the concept of tithing, Malachi 3 and 10, my husband and I, we just made sure that we tithe no matter what was going on. I was working full-time at a job, so I just paid my tithes. I had my own company, so any type of income that came in, I paid my tithes. Whether I made $50, I paid that $5 tithe, you know what I mean? I made sure that my husband, you know, I said, hey, babe, did you drop, like, what's the tithe? Because he's going to keep us afloat. And that's what it was. It basically, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of your business. And
wow, I like that.
He opened up a window of heaven. Like, people were pouring into us, giving us stuff, you know what I mean? And we weren't apprehensive about taking anything because of the pandemic or COVID, you know what I mean? My daughter was blessed with the new bedroom set. We were just blessed with, and then we built our own vegetable garden. Okay, so he was allowing us to till the land. We built our own spice bed. So, you know what I mean? Again, he provided those resources for us. So, and also, like you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And that's the thing. We just focus on God. And definitely got, you know, somewhat in a situation. I mean, you're sick of looking at the same person for the next 3-4 weeks straight. It's like, okay, there has to be something else. But it was just that we didn't look at the problem. We looked at God, because then we saw a different perspective. And then it forced even me to study more. I say, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What are you showing? What's needed? And that's what encouraged me. And here's the thing. My husband was definitely nervous because he does commercial construction, but then it forced his business, because he has his own company in residential. So again, that faith, and it was just that faith to say, listen, he said, I never seen the righteous forsaken right. You know, I never see the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. So therefore we weren't at all hungry. And even just today, I'm thinking we had to just go grocery shopping and then stock up. Now we're overstocked. I'm like, oh man, I should have took an inventory list on what we needed. We're just beyond blessed. And then we're now in a position to give things away because God has blessed us. So that's the year that we had. I mean, I did lose people that I knew of and associated with to the pandemic, and I pray that the Lord continues to just comfort their families. But I just know that as long as you keep your mind stayed on him, everything will be all right.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we want to thank our O&E host of Strictly Business, Ms. E. Davis, for her words of encouragement. And I want to just touch briefly on one of the things she said before we go to our next caller, was that, you know, that tithing piece is by faith. Because what you do for God, God does not forget. But what you don't do for God, he doesn't forget either. See, so when you're talking about moving and operating by faith, that means it doesn't stop just because you find yourself in a predicament. So even when she was saying, like, no matter what came in, I'm still going to give God what belongs to him. And see, sometimes people will look to hold on to every little piece. And this is what Jesus said. He says, if you look to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to give up even that little piece of yourself, even that little piece of 10%, God is able to do more for your 90 than you could ever hope or dream. Hallelujah. So thank Ms. O&E, host of Strictly Business, Ms. E. Davis. We're going to go to our next caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Angela. I am calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I would like to congratulate you, Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry, on your O&E syndicated station all-time connection record with your 11th all-time and your fourth consecutive. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
And I am enjoying the show tonight. I am really enjoying this tonight. I really am. I tell you, I was just on a call earlier, and we were talking about faith. Wow. So I'm reminded of a couple things. And I noticed that with me, and I'm just going to talk about me right now, faith to me has become a belief system and not so much of a religious thing, because I truly believe that it is a system of how we do things and how we receive. But it only comes from hearing the word of God and God's truth. And people say, what is God's truth? Because we often, everybody got their truth. We all have our truth. But we have to find out what the truth is through the word and identify ourselves in that word and how we can apply that to our lives. I tell you, my faith has been tested and stretched. And but God is good. God is good. Because he tells us in Proverbs 3:5, I'm sorry, he tells us in 3:5, he said, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Right.
Because things are going to come at you, and stuff you're not going to understand, and you're going to look at things, and it's not going to look like you want it to look, but God is already working it out, and we have to believe that, and we have to learn that we are in this world. But we don't have to be of this world. And we have to learn sometimes how to focus and change our mindset. Because you have to look at your situation and you have to know. You have to believe the word of God. You have to believe that when he say, I'm not a Bible thumper. I really don't know the Bible like that. But I know there's a scripture that says that there's a cattle of 1,000 hills, or however it is, that he has everything. He owns everything. So we have to believe that. And he's able to do anything for us, no matter what it looked like to us in the natural. Because I'm telling you, I'm battling some things right now. You know, I lost my brother in December, and I have an uncle right now, and he's in intensive care. And they wanted to take his leg off, but they're scared to take the leg off because he may not make it out of the surgery. But I'm believing God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm believing God. I'm trusting God. Whatever his will is, whatever his will shall be done. If it's healing
and, you know,
in the natural on his side, it will be done. If not, I'm well. It is well, regardless,
right.
Because God is good. But I want to thank you so much for this show tonight, because a lot of people, they definitely lost their faith during this time. I tell you, I stood on Psalms 46:10 because he said, be still and know that I'm God. No. But, yeah, I want to thank you for this tonight.
Amen, amen. You said one thing that was real key before we bring up our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey and Shrinee Olasky. You said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, that faith is basically who you are. It's what you do. It's not something that you just talk about having, but it has to be demonstrated. And we demonstrate it. It has to be demonstrated on a daily, regardless of what's going on. Your faith now, it has to become a way of life for you. And then that part you said about praying the will of God. Sometimes a lot of people, when they pray, their prayers are so selfish, they wonder why God is not answering them. Because you're not praying the will of God. Jesus, when he was in the garden, who did not want to go to the cross. Let's understand that. No man wants to go to a place of suffering. But he still said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He prayed the will of the Father. He obeyed the will of the Father because he, according to Hebrews 12:2, says that he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had to focus on the joy that was set before him and believe by faith that his Father would raise him from the dead and not leave him in hell. So Jesus had to operate in faith too. And then the Bible tells us that we have to be imitators of him.
Yes.
So yes, I thank you for your comments. I thank you for your words. And I'm really hoping that people out there who are listening are really gathering something from these ladies who called in with their comments tonight. Because the one thing you have to realize none of us go through this fight alone. It may seem like you're alone. The devil wants you to believe and think that you're by yourself, but nobody goes through a faith fight by themselves. We'll return with the work is done right after this.
Put your hands together. Come on. Put your hands
Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey Olasky. He's doing his thing tonight, y'all. He is putting it down. I'm telling you, every track is right on point. Can I get closer to you? That's a part of having big time faith, is how do we get closer to God even when we're going through some hard stuff. So listen, back to the caller. Caller, to our next caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Man of God, man of God, man of God. First of all, congratulations. It's always great to see and to hear when you get a championship, because I know that you put your all in all to it. And
Amen.
Man, you up there talking about a storm, sir. A lot of people don't know this. But Magic Man has been going through some serious storms here lately. A lot of people know me as a master sound therapist, and trust me. Indeed, I am.
Mm-hmm.
But my upline had just made a transition last week, boy. When you talk about a storm, good God Almighty. When you lose someone that you love and miss so bad, that's a storm. I don't think people out there know what I'm talking about, man of God.
Right, right.
Woo. Man. And he left me a great gift in a lot of what I'm doing today. It's because of my upline, and I give thanks. I'm glad that he was able to tune in when I was officially inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the gift that he gave me, that's what faith does for you, because he had enough faith in me to help raise me and to help prepare me for a lot of the works that I aspire to do today. And so when I tuned into your show, and you know, you're speaking about having faith and so many things. First of all, I just love and respect you for being who and what you are, and I can feel your heart. And again, there's not too many people out there that actually reach me in a way in which you do. I thank you so much for being a part of O&E. I thank you so much for being called, and you know, peace and divine blessings to you, your beautiful wife, and your church family, and everything that you do for us at O&E, as well as for the rest of the world.
Amen. Well, listen, brother, I thank you. That is another Hall of Fame radio broadcast of Huni Bakuntun. And listen, you know, recently I had a pastor friend of mine. I was talking to him early 2020. And he was telling me how him and his wife of 19 years wanted to renew their vows. And when he talked about who they wanted to do their ceremony, they came to a unanimous consensus that they wanted me to do it. And I was so honored by that, you know, I said, look, just let me know. They were talking about doing a destination wedding, and, you know, they wanted me to be a part of it. You know, they went from that. We just buried her last Monday. They went from planning a wedding renewal to planning a funeral. So when I say that this thing out here is deadly, and it will test the very core of who you are, it will test your faith to its core. So you said, you know, you're in a storm. You lost someone who was very dear to you. See, that's being in the storm. And people have to understand it's okay to be in the storm, but what's important is what you're doing while you're there. What are you doing in the storm? Don't allow your faith to waver. Because if you allow your faith to waver, then you're like Peter and you begin to sink in that storm. And sometimes people can sink to a point where they can't even find us how to get back up. And that's when it becomes dangerous, when you get to a point where you don't even see how you can get out of the storm. And you don't call on God, you don't call on Jesus, you stop praying, you stop believing, like Sister Angela, Sister Ernestine said, you stop tithing, you stop doing everything that you know to do. You stop. And that's when the devil gets the victory. But it's when we persevere and we keep moving, we keep, like the Bible says, we keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling. I keep my eye on the prize. And if I do that, that's why Romans 8:28 is so true to me. Because we've all been in storms. Storm is nothing new to any of us. anybody on this earth, whether you say you're a believer, whether you say you're not, I don't care what religion you say you follow, everybody has been in the storm. Some people are still in storms. And if you haven't been in a storm, I guarantee you, as you listen to my voice, a storm is coming your way. What are you going to do to prepare for it? What are you doing? Because you got to do something. We're going back to our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, and Shrine Olasky, hit me with the next track. Shrine Olasky, and that right there was one of his mother's favorite songs. Tonight we're talking about how big is your faith. Now we've had some callers on the line tonight, and you still may have time. Call in 516-453-9133. You still have some time. Call in. Let me know if your faith has been tested, if it has increased, if it has decreased, and be honest. See, we can be honest because God already knows how you feel. And, you know, sometimes people try to sugarcoat things with God and not really try to, you know, lash out or scream out or really tell him how they really feel. But he already knows. He knows the innermost parts of you. He knows the intimate parts of you. He knows if you're trying to sugarcoat stuff or not. So if he says he knows your heart, then what's in your heart, you know, it needs to come out. If you frustrated, if you angry, he already knows it. Ain't no need you sitting there trying to be fake and phony. And, you know, even the apostles, you know, they told Jesus, they said, Lord, increase our faith. But his response, when you look at Luke chapter 17, he, you know, they said, increase our faith. His response was, all you need, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. He didn't say all you need. He said, but if you had the faith, even as the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to mountains, you could speak to trees, and they would have to obey you. But that's the least amount of faith that you should be operating in. But your faith can accomplish so much more than that. And I often tell people, if you say, well, I have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you've probably been saying that for how many years now? When are you going to plant that seed so that it can grow? You can't keep operating in the same level of faith that got you to where you are. No, you can't do that. You need new faith to go to new levels. But you got to be careful in how you ask for that. You don't say, Lord, you know, give me more faith. Because what happens when you ask for more faith, one of the things I used to pray for, I used to always pray, like, God, give me more patience. You know what he would give me? He would give me more opportunities to exercise patience in. So when I tell you people will be working my nerves, yeah, oh, Pastor said that, yeah, people be working my nerves. So I had to learn now, stop asking for more patience. I needed to grow the patience that I had so that people wouldn't work my nerves like they would do. I had to learn now how to grow the patience that I had. Now, just like your faith, the Bible says in Romans 12:3, he says he's given to every person the measure of faith, a measure. See, whatever you're going to face in life, you already have the faith to get through it. It's already in you. Why do you think people can overcome such, you know, hard adversities and things like that? Why? Because the faith is already in them to do it. And you sit back looking at them like, man, I wish I had that kind of faith. No, you don't, because you couldn't handle the stuff that they had to handle. You couldn't handle it. That's why he didn't give you that measure of faith. But whatever it is that you're going through, you already have the measure to get through it. See, everybody does, you know, you got to be careful. Because, see, some people would teach that we all have the same measure of faith. We all don't have the same measure of faith because everybody's experience is different. Everybody's experience, everybody's storm is different. Everybody's circumstance or situation is different. They may be similar, but there's still something different about it. But whatever it is, God has made sure that he's giving you specifically the measure to get through it. I don't know what it's like to lose a child to violence. I don't know what that's like. That's not where my measure of faith is. But there are people who had to go through that, who had to live through that, and had to rely on their faith to get through that. God made sure that when that time came, they already had access to that measure of faith to get through. See, and I don't care what the storm is. I don't care what you name the storm. Whether it's your job situation, whether it's your marriage that's falling apart, whether it's your kids who are acting crazy, whether you've lost someone to the virus, it doesn't matter. Your faith has to be big enough. You have to really trust and know that your faith is there, is present, you already have it, and you can get through. You can get through it. But it's when you stop believing, when you start allowing the problem to be bigger than the problem solver. When you start allowing the problem to be bigger than the problem solver, guarantee you, you'll lose. We'll be back with The Work Is Done right after this.
All right. Everybody get ready to put your hands together. Little song that says, Jesus, drop the charges. All right. I was guilty, doomed in disgrace. How many people can know you was guilty one day? Amen. Some of us feel guilty. But Jesus, drop the charges. Yeah. with a special love.
Dropped. This is The Work Is Done, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria, product of Beverly Nation, Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, good evening, Pastor Perry. How are you?
I am great. How are you this evening?
I'm well. I just wanted to call in to tell you that I'm enjoying the show. And you're giving out a lot of informative, educational, and enlightening education that is very much needed during this time, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, going through a lot during this transition. So, you know, I just want to congratulate you on, you know, your award that you just received as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, one of the things that I try to do is not be like anybody else. Anybody that, you know, follows me you know, I'm not your traditional kind of guy. I'm not that traditional type of pastor. I believe in keeping it real. I think that's what's important. I think that's what people need to hear. I think people need somebody that's going to talk to them right where they are, not talk over their head, but, you know, understand that the struggle is real out here. The struggle is real. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have been affected personally by the pandemic, the insurrection, or anything that's been transpiring within the last year and a half, but this struggle out here is real, and people got to know that.
It is, and it breaks my heart. Like, it breaks my heart, like, when I go out and I see that once we're in there, you know, in a good mindset, now have lost it. Because, you know, everyone has a breaking point. So, you know, it's best because we're all in the same boat, and we're not even far from that. But it's good when you can tap into something that can reassure you, you know, that you're going to be all right, because you are in the end. And the thing is, none of us are failures. You know, we fail because we stop trying. Because in order to succeed in anything, you have to fail a little bit before you make it to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I'm loving the topic tonight. I'm loving, you know, the scriptures and everything. And you know, I hope this show tonight, you know, help save, you know, I know it is going to help save lives, but even more than what is ordinarily being saved. So, you know, I just want to thank you.
Amen. Now tell people what your name is so they can know who it was who was giving that wisdom just now.
Okay, my name is Sharice Lee. I am the title of my show, my platform is the Sharice Lee Program, and I'm like a beginner domestic violence advocate, where I encourage just not women, men, whoever, to, you know, walk away from the situation and rediscover who they are, because we all have a purpose in being in this life. And sometimes, you know, we try to hold on to things that was only meant to be in our life for a temporary time. But I encourage people to focus, you know, on the light at the end of the tunnel and just keep moving, because we all have a beautiful future, but it's up to the individual. So, you know, I just try to boost up the individual self-esteem, because we all are wonderful people.
Amen. Now I don't know if those of you that are listening caught what she just said, because sometimes you even have the faith to let go, especially of something that is not working in your life. Why continue to hold on to something that's broke and can't be fixed? And we see people think, Sharice, they think that's what faith is. I gotta keep holding on. I gotta keep holding on. That's not faith. That's foolishness. And there's a very fine line between faith and foolishness.
Yes, it's looking ahead. It's looking ahead and being focused on your dreams, what's inside of you, because we all have something wonderful inside of us that we all have to give birth to, but sometimes things come in our way that kind of, like, you know, pushes us to another direction, but it's okay, but we just got to get back on track and just keep soaring towards the final destination, because we all have one.
You know, and as a pastor, you know, people will ask me, you know, what I think about divorce. You know, I totally believe what the Bible says. You know, Jesus says, you know, from the beginning, divorce, it was never meant to happen. But I would never counsel a couple where one of them was being physically, mentally, emotionally abused, and just tell them that they had to stay there.
Right. Pastor Perry, can I say something about what you just said?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. as far as divorce, for certain reasons, it is healthy, and sometimes I do encourage it when you cannot work things out, because when you don't, and when you hold on to something that's toxic, it will push you to break a commandment. One of the most important commandments that we should always avoid is thou shalt not kill. And I don't, because a lot of times people stay in things, and not only do they kill their spirit, but they might do something to kill the other person's spirit. And it doesn't necessarily mean physically kill. It can be a spiritual kill.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So, it's just best just to walk away and rediscover the beautiful person that you are, because we are all beautiful.
Again, from a biblical sense, Jesus said, save for adultery. He said, that was the reason that you can get divorced, was because of adultery. But at the same token, the God that I serve, the God that I love, I don't believe. Now understand, I want everybody out there to understand what I'm saying, because I'm talking from a personal perspective. I don't believe the intention that God had for marriage was to be physically abused.
No, not at all.
That was not the intention. Because when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, it tells how a husband is supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, gave his life for it. If you're married to somebody who's punching you, beating you, abusing you, that is not according to what the Bible says a marriage should be, and you should absolutely have the faith, have the trust in God, have the confidence in God that he's going to protect you, that you can walk away from that.
Right,
and
right.
It's not safe to stay there. That's foolishness.
Right. And if we are made in the image of God, right, which means mm-hmm. God made us like him, then that's another reason why you shouldn't accept that, because you should put yourself, because when you think of God, you think of gold. So, that's what I think of,
Mm-hmm.
So I'm golden. So I got to treat myself like gold, diamonds, and pearls, because I was made in the image of God.
Right.
And that's the only way, and that's the only way you should treat me, as if I was created in the image of God. That's the only thing I'm accepting. If you can't give me that, then you don't deserve me. You don't deserve my company. You don't deserve my conversation. You don't deserve my energy. You don't deserve anything from me. And I'm not going to give it to you.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, tell our listeners when they can catch your show.
Okay. Brother Ngozi, I might need a little help with this. My last show was this previous Monday. No, it was the Martin Luther King show. So I should be on in 4 weeks.
Okay.
And I will be focusing on domestic violence and, just encouraging people to, to walk away. That's all. Just walk away from things that are toxic.
Amen. Well, listen, I thank you again for calling in tonight. And I know that somebody out there who's listening to this, some people may be listening and say, oh, I just thought you were talking about faith. This is all faith. This is all encompassing of faith, because you can apply faith to every area of your life. Big faith, little faith. You can apply it to every area of your life. And if there's an area of your life that is struggling, not producing, that means you haven't fully applied your faith, your ability to trust God, because that's what I always tell people what faith is. We know Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, we know that is the biblical definition for faith. But in a nutshell, faith to me is your ability to trust God. When Peter stepped out that boat, what was he doing? He was trusting God. When Noah built that ark, what was he doing? He was trusting God. And you just look at everybody that in the Bible that was used of God, they were really trusting God to do what he said. And then like the one sister said earlier, she quoted Psalms. She said, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's facts. That's facts. If you get to that point where you're operating in your faith, that you just believe God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. God didn't bring you this far to give up on you now. It doesn't matter what it looks like, sound like, smell like, feel like. God got your back. He's got your back. All things. And you see, I keep going back to that. Romans 8:28. All things, all things, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, see, now I can back that up with John chapter 9, verse 31. The man, after Jesus healed his eyes, and he was being questioned by the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were asking him, like, who healed you? And he was amazed. He said, I'm surprised that you guys, the teachers of the law, don't know who he is. He said, but one thing I know, God doesn't hear sinners. If any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he hears. See, you can't just say, I'm a child of God. No, usually you got to do his will. You got to be a worshiper of God. That's when you'll see the manifested blessings take place in your life. When you say, you know what, regardless of what's coming in, I'm still going to make sure I tithe and give God his tenth. No, oh, that's just for the Old Testament. No, no, that's not even, tithing was not even a part of the law, because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek before the law was even given. You got to know your Bible. And you can't let people dissuade you from doing what you know that you're supposed to be doing. So when it gets to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and he says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And then he says, prove me in this. Test me. Challenge me. Double dare me. The windows of heaven will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. That you do by faith. You give by faith. You love by faith. You worship by faith. You praise by faith. Everything by faith. So how big is your faith? That's what we'll be talking about tonight. How big is your faith? We'll be back when the work is done right after this. Listen, that's our time for tonight. For the work is done. I want to thank all of our wonderful callers who called in tonight with your words of encouragement and overcoming. I want to thank our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Shrine E, Brother Olasky, for keeping us motivated on the ones and twos. Listen, we want to turn this over and just keep your faith up. Whatever it is, keep your faith up. Keep your eye on the prize. Even if you fall, see, people think falling is a problem. Falling is not the problem. Not getting up is the problem. It's okay to stumble, but once you stumble, keep your footing. Get your footing back under you and keep on marching. Keep on running the race of faith. Brother O, it's your time.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for this outstanding dissertation tonight. What more can we say about Oney Dynasty? It's fantastic. You know, I want to thank all of our wonderful hosts this week for putting down work and putting down that body that will stand the test of time. Tomorrow night, we come back on these Oney stations, of course, the whole Sports Nation. Come on, call in, Pastor. You'll love it. It gets real, real heated, and it's wonderful. The whole Sports Nation tomorrow night with Derek Gibson and Uptown Dudes, 9:30 Eastern. Standard time on these O&E stations. And, of course, 7 Nation is advertising to O&E, which is Ola Deli and Goes Enterprise Region, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Gozy Prime Time, one at desert.com. We're in Gozy Time both for Twitter and Instagram, Ola Deli and Gozy at Pinterest and Google+, Ola Deli Malay and Gozy at Facebook, as well as our business page, The Work Is Done, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful programming tonight? Oh, may day lay. Daddy goes with mine, gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's paid producer, Oladeli Malay Wingozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Pastor, we're about to celebrate 8 years on the radio, and whatever is designated, that will be Beverly Nation Anniversary Week, where we celebrate, you know, our outstanding prowess and what we have done in the history of internet radio as it is. And of course, one more can I say, congratulations to Pastor Kevin Perry on his 11th O&E syndicated station all-time connection record, as well as, you know, a progression. 4 consecutive. Congratulations, Reverend. And of course, now it is the invitation to discipleship right here at O&E Dynasty.
Yes. Listen, I want you to understand that coming to Christ, giving your life to him, does not mean you'll live a worry-free life. It doesn't mean that you won't go through storms and trials. The Bible tells us in Psalms 34:19 that many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivers us out of them all. So if you think that, man, I've tried everything to make it, but I've never tried Jesus, and I want to offer that to you tonight. It's a free gift, and we all like free, especially in this time. We all like something that's free. Salvation for you tonight is free. The price for it has already been paid over 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. He did that just for you. So if you want to, you don't have to, but I'm encouraging you, allow him into your heart, so that you can see things from a different perspective. You can look through the eyes of victory at whatever situation that you're in. May not feel like it, may not look like it, but you can look through the eyes of victory, knowing that he'll bring you out, he'll bring you through. And if that's you tonight, simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer tonight, it's done. You don't feel different, but allow the work that he wants to do in you to manifest. Just like a farmer plants a seed, He doesn't see the crop the next day. He doesn't even see it the same night. But as he cultivates it, waters it, nurtures it, that's what you have to do with the word that is planted in your heart. And as you do that, you'll see a change. And it'll be a change for the better. Thank you for tuning in to The Work Is Done. We'll see you here 4 weeks from tonight. Pastor Kev loves you. I want the best for you. I'm praying God's best for you in your life. I'll see you here next time. Go with God. Have a good night.